One of the biggest disasters we had here was a flood that occurred in three different communities. And we didn't really know how to engage right at the beginning, but I knew that the flood buckets or the cleaning kits that UMCOR puts together would be something that we could use.
Welcome to the One Great Hour of Sharing podcast, brought to you by UMCOR. Today, we're talking about the ministry of relief and hope that UMCOR is bringing around the world and how your church can get involved. Thanks for joining us as we get ready for One Great Hour of Sharing on the fourth Sunday of Lent.
Well, welcome to the One Great Hour of Sharing podcast. As we count down to the fourth Sunday of Lent, when churches all across the United Methodist movement are going to be joining together to support the vital work of UMCOR through this special Sunday, and we really want to invite you to participate with us. Today, we have a real treat on our show. We have a guest that's going to help us really understand a lot about both UMCOR, the great work it does, and One Great Hour of Sharing. And so we've got Margie Hill. She's in Texas, and so Margie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Now, why don't we start with, why don't you kind of describe your relationship with UMCOR, all the different things you do. You wear a lot of different hats. So let's hear about that.
Well, I'm on the staff here at the North Texas Conference, and one of the things that I do here as part of my portfolio is disaster response, and I'm the disaster response coordinator. What that means is if there's ever a disaster that happens within the boundaries of my conference, then I'm the one that the bishop and the cabinet looks to as the person who knows what to do. And the only reason I know what to do is because of UMCOR and the training right. that they have given me over the years.
Now, there's never any disasters in Texas, so it's never had any problems, right?
Right.
Of course not.
You never have any tornadoes.
No tornadoes, nothing like that. Well, what does UMCOR do to support the United Methodist Conferences? Like, what does that support look like when you say, like, hey, I couldn't do it without UMCOR? What does that support look like for you?
Well, one of the first things they do when you are tasked as the disaster response coordinator for your conference is they contact you and say, hey, we are here for you. We are here to provide the training that you need. And one of the things they do every year is to give just a basic 101 disaster training. And that training is really open to anybody, but it's especially geared towards the newbies. That's what we call them, the people that are new to disaster response. Because let's face it, most of the people that get asked to be the disaster response for their conference are not professional disaster people. They don't have degrees in emergency management. So they have little to no idea what to do if something happens. And they have to learn that from UMCOR.
Now, why don't you pull that apart a little bit? How long is the training, this kind of initial 101? How do they do that? What does that look like for people?
Well, every year at their facility in Louisiana, it's called the Sager Brown Depot. They have a five-day training, and they bring people in from all over the United States. The new people, sometimes it's new people, and sometimes it's a combination of new and experienced people. And they give us the trainings that we need in order to keep current and to know how to connect with our communities, which is a very important thing to know how to do.
Okay, this is, let's say if there was a disaster, there was, a tornado in Texas, and you're going to rally people together. What does that look like from your office? What is it that you're doing to try to help, help in that situation?
Well, I've been doing this for 8 years now, and we've had several disasters while I've been here, including flooding and tornadoes and all kinds of things. So the very first thing that happens is we get bombarded with phone calls from the churches wanting to know what to do. And fortunately, the training that we get from UMCOR prepares us for that, teaches us that we need to maybe set up a call center or have people trained already, which is one of the things that I have discovered is most organizations these days, they want their people that are volunteering in disasters to be identified in advance, and they want them to be credentialed and identified and background checked and everything in advance. And that's one of the things that UMCOR does for us too, is they give us that credentialing and that badging so that we can say, yes, we've got volunteers who not only are trained, but we can guarantee that they are legitimate and they're not just going to spontaneously appear when they're not wanted.
Right, absolutely. you know, when a congregation gives through One Great Hour of Sharing, you know, how have you seen those donations, you know, being used by UMCOR?
Well, they use that money to help provide this training that I'm describing today. So if if we have a need where we need people to come in and assist us, especially if we've got a very tricky disaster, something that's unusual that we don't know how to handle, they will send people that will come and assist us and walk us through the process, hold our hand, and that's an invaluable thing. Because like I said, we often have no idea what we're doing. And with every disaster, we're working with the community that also doesn't know what it's doing either. Because if you think about what's happened in the last year, we've had the fertilizer plant explosion in West. That was an unusual thing. And that's not something that any training will really prepare you for. Right. But yet there are similar incidents like it around the U.S. where the UMCOR folks will come in and say, oh, well, this is what this conference did in this situation, and it might work for you too. And so that broad knowledge that they have is a great thing for us.
Yeah, that's I could tell that I'm talking to someone who's been involved in a lot of disaster work, because you said, well, you know, if there's like a tricky disaster, I think by definition, all disasters are tricky.
Yeah, but some of them, you know, you pretty much know what to do because it's, you know, it's a standard thing. If it's a flood, you know what to do. But with these bizarre things like the fertilizer plant explosion, I mean, that's all wrong. So
that's
those are tough.
That's fantastic. If it's a standard disaster, you know what to do. So that's a great deal. Now, when you think of specifically, you know, disasters you've been through in the past, you know, can you try to break it down and think of like maybe an individual family or, you know, a situation that, you know, you saw people jump in and help that you thought really made a difference, you know, in their lives?
Well, one of the biggest disasters that we've had here, and the West thing is not in my conference, so I'm only referring to that as an outsider, but one of the biggest disasters we had here was a flood that occurred in three different communities. And we didn't really know how to engage right at the beginning, but I knew that the flood buckets or the cleaning kits that UMCOR puts together would be something that we could use to initiate our response into the community, and it would be something that we could use to give out to families that that we didn't know otherwise how to connect with them at the beginning. And so the very first thing I did was ask for a shipment of these cleaning kits to be sent to Texas, and we distributed those at the community centers where all the disaster victims were gathering and were coming forward for help from all the organizations. And so that was a great thing for us, was just to be able to have those health kits and the cleaning kits ready and to be able to pass those out. And I also gave them to our local churches to have a stockpile in the community so that when people came to them for assistance, at least they would be able to say, you know, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do here, but at least take this, you know, here's something that may be useful to you. And that's worth quite a bit of money, because each one of those cleaning kits is about $70 worth of materials.
Yeah, that's amazing. I don't want people to miss that here, you know, these resources are stockpiled, they're ready to go. There's volunteers have put them together and they're waiting. So when you have a disaster, you know, you're able to make that phone call and get that shipment and have them there ready to go. And that's, you know, that's a part of what, you know, the resources from One Great Hour of Sharing is going towards, which is amazing. You know, that's amazing.
It's something that my churches forget about. Right. I mean, they put the kits together and they forget that we may actually need them here one day.
Right.
So, you know, it's a great thing for us to be able to say, hey, you know, these can be used to help us in the future too.
Right, absolutely. What would you say to a church leader who, you know, is maybe on the fence thinking about, I'm not sure I really want to be involved in One Great Hour of Sharing, you know, this year? What would you say to that person?
I would say, you know what, you really need to have the Connecting Neighbors training at your local church. Mm-hmm. And you need to see what it is that UMCOR does, how they work and connect in the community. That Connecting Neighbors training is just a basic training that can be done at a local church where they can figure out, what is our role in a disaster? You know, what benefit do we have? What's our special gift? And, you know, each congregation has its own DNA, and sometimes they have an amazing group of skilled construction guys, or sometimes they have an amazing group of women that would like to cook, or they may have just the right facility and just the right location to be able to respond and do something really special. And it's really a shame. I really hate it when a church has a disaster in their community. Never sat down for even 5 minutes to think about, well, what would we do in this situation? What do we bring to the table? We're not affected, but we can help.
Right.
But what can we do? That's and nice. I've actually had the Red Cross call me in the past and say, hey, we need a church in this general area to help us with housing and feeding the firemen during this particular thing. Do you have a church that would do that? And it's such a shame when you call that pastor and he says, oh, I don't know. I would have to gather my board of trustees together,
right,
make sure that it's okay with them first. And, you know, these are all conversations that people could have in advance and be prepared.
Right. I remember once in a situation like that, you know, similar kind of, you know, asking a church if they could help. The leader said, you know, you can pray about it, but I'm pretty sure God's going to answer that, yes, you should help people. You know,
yeah.
I don't think his answer is going to be, no, you know, no, don't do that. That's fine. Pass that by. Well, anything else you'd love to share with people today or our listeners as they tune in and as we prepare for One Great Hour of Sharing this year?
Well, I would definitely say take the offering because we need the help.
Thank you for joining us for the One Great Hour of Sharing podcast. We want your church to join us for this special Sunday that supports the vital work of UMCOR. Drop by umcor.org for more information on how to get involved.